join you for another day to shift, where you and I can feed our faith and starve our doubts and come together what I really love in community. I look so forward to joining you every single day, weekday that is, and just to sharpen your faith and equip and empower you, and just to remind you of who you are in Christ Jesus, and just all of the things that the Holy Spirit uploads every single day, like fresh manna for you and I. So once again, I'm so glad to join you. My name is Nina Roach, and I am your ministry morning host who's going to lead you through your personal shift. Because what is the shift, basically? Shift is where you have an opportunity. Let me read it to you according to Romans 12 this morning. From the, let me get there very quickly. I thought I had it up, but I didn't. From the Message Bible. I really like that version of the Message Bible from Romans 12. Let me get there very quickly. Romans 12, here we go, from the Message Bible. This is what your shift is all about. So he says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Anytime we know that we give God permission to help us, we know that we're right then and there operating under a spirit of grace, right there. Anytime we are, once again, I'm going to say that again, anytime that we're having God, by our legal permission, by our free will, you asking God to help us, we are operating under the spirit of grace. So he says from Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message Bible, this is what the shift is all about. This is our foundational scripture, actually, for Shift Today Ministries. It is. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you, that's grace again, is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted that your culture, to your culture, that you fit in to it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I'm going to say that again. Instead, in other words, there's a lot of things you could be doing, but God is saying this morning, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you that's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you. He's develops a well-formed maturity in you. I'm going to read also the Passion Translation from Romans 12 and 2, and it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern. Remember, the kingdom of God is discerned. It's not learned. It's discerned. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So if you want to live a satisfying life, a beautiful life, a perfect life in the eyes of God, he tells us once again, he says, that I read to you earlier from Romans 12 and 2 from the Message Bible, he says, instead, attention on God, and you will be changed from the inside out. So many people are trying to change without the word of God. And I'm even talking about believers. I just really sense, well, you begin to see as we go deeper into this broadcast today, this segment of Shift on this radio experience, you'll see what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's saying to fix your attention on God. It's God who made you right. So there's no other means, and in other words, because you know Jesus is the word, so there's no other means and there's no other way to be made right. There's no other way to change. There's no other way, as I just read from Romans 12, too, there's no other way to be transformed, only through a total reformation of the Holy Spirit, because he shows you how to think, and he's going to still show you. The Holy Spirit is going to take up of what God offers, because the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit is going to use the word of God. Jesus came to be manifested as the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is going to take hold of what God uses to get results. And so even from Romans 12, 2, from the voice says, do not allow this world to mold you. So in other words, the world will mold you the way that you think, the way that you emotionally respond, the way that, you know, the world will tell you, oh, don't worry about that. If they do this, just cuss them out. Or if they do that, you know, you act nasty. Or if they do something, then you go first. You don't let them go first. You go first. It's all about you. Or see, so the scripture says in Romans 12, 2, do not let allow the world to mold you. So that means if you allow the world to mold you, then guess what? You can disallow the world to mold you by disengaging not with the world, but you're disengaging with all of the world's resources to mold you. I guarantee you, if you look into your life and if you're stuck in a certain of your life, it's because you've allowed the world to mold you. You've allowed the words of someone else to mold you. Maybe you grew up in a home where they didn't pray to God, so you think the very first thing that what you do when you get up, you don't pray to God because you never saw that example modeled before you. But Jesus came to be a working, viable model so that you can have something to follow. So you do not have to allow the world and the way that they think and their sway and the way that they speak and the way that they act and react. You don't have to allow them to mold you. Instead, Jesus came as an image of God, the right way. So instead, he says from the voice from Romans 12 and 2, instead, be transformed from the inside out. So when you get the word on the inside of you, the word is now your new root. And so that word will produce new fruit. And if you're not seeing new fruit from a new root, then you need to disengage from the world that has molded you and take hold and continue to hear the word of God so that faith can come. And as I read earlier from Romans 12 and 2 from the Message Bible, he says this is what grace looks like. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. So as long as you allow God to help you to remold the image that he is and the image that he gave you, because the image that God gave you is an image of righteousness. So when you allow that image of righteousness from a right God to change you, you'll be transformed from the inside out, and you can do that by grace, which is God helping you, and through faith, which is still God, because it's a measure of what he gave to you as the substance to get the natural results on the outside. And by that, and you'll begin to renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? By putting your eyes before the word of God, by hearing the word of God, and then allowing that word through meditation. I'm going to talk about that today, to change you. The more that you think about your right way and the right things of God, that's how you'll be changed from the inside out. The more that you continue to think about and do the things according to the world's way and allow them to mold you, that's the fruit of those words. So he says from the voice from Romans 12 and 2, and as a result, you will be able to discern, here it is again, what God wills and whatever he wants and God finds good, pleasing, can be complete without allowing the world to mold you. You can be pleasing unto God without allowing the world to say, this is what pleases God. No, what pleases God is when you follow the word, when you follow the way, when you follow Jesus. And you can also be complete in God because if God says, this is what makes me pleasing, just like when you have your children and you've had your children and you tell your children, this pleases me when you do this. And so when they don't do that thing, it doesn't dismiss them from being your children. You're just displeased with your children. Hear what I'm telling you today. But when they do what you say to do, you're pleased with them, and they're still your children because they responded to what pleased you. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God and you being a child of God. And from this standpoint this morning, I know the Holy Spirit has summoned you here on this broadcast so that you can be reminded as a believer that you are the righteousness of God. Because sometimes you are not operating from the level of faith that God wants you to be leveled up on and leveled out on and spreading your wings so that you can manifest, as he says, he's awaiting for the sons and the daughters of God to be manifested. And so sometimes you're not being manifested. Why? Because you're not operating out of your position. You're operating still allowing the world to mold you. So as I read earlier on the broadcast, from Romans 12 and 2, he says, so here's what I want you to do. This is Paul writing a letter to Rome, and he says, God helping you. Anytime you're allowing God to help you, it's grace. Ephesians 2, 9 says, it's by grace through faith. It's by God's help. He doesn't need any human help. God does not need anything from you other than your total surrenderance and your total commitment to him just by your free will to say, I'm willing. He needs your will. He needs your permission. Those are the things that God needs for you. But concerning God changing you and transforming your life and truly seeing a reformation that only the Holy Spirit can provide for you, the only way that's going to happen is by the grace of God, which means you are allowing God to help you without any of your interference, not any like, let me just go back to something. See, what you're into God's work is something that has been recreated from on the outside of you. When God's changing you, he's changing you from the inside out. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says from the Message Bible, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place your life before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Embracing, that goes back again to grace. What God can do for you. It's not what you can do for God. And if you're trying to constantly do for something for God, stop doing that. Just do what he says that pleases him. And what pleases him is that you embrace. That means you take hold of. And this kingdom is something that you take. In this kingdom, it's something that you receive. In the world's kingdom, the one that we breathe and live and walk through in our bodies, because you know your body isn't you. Your body is just your house that you are living in. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You're living in your body. So God says, while you're in that body, I need for you to embrace what I am doing or have already done for you. And this is the best thing that you can do for me. So if you want to do something for me, if you want to find what's good and pleasing to me, if you want to find your life complete in me, just embrace what I have already done for you through Jesus Christ. And here also, don't become, it says Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't become so well adjusted to the culture, in other words, to the people of the world, that you fit in without even thinking about it. In other words, be intentional. Live in that 5% or that 15% of your conscious mind. Be intentional. Be a thought leader. In other words, use your head and your mind and be present in the moment. He's saying don't become so well adjusted to this world and how they do things and how they operate that you fit in without even thinking. In other words, use your head and instead fix your attention. Where is your attention? It's in your spirit. It's in your soul. Once your soul has been taught, because your spirit man is going to teach your soul how to think. How are you going to learn how to think? And you're going to use the resource. What's the resource? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Instead, fix your attention on God, he says, and you'll be changed from the inside out. So readily recognize what God wants from you. You're asking everybody else, some man or some woman, what they want from you. Why don't you try asking God what he wants from you? What do you want from me today? Why don't you make this your place of your first confession? Ask God right now. Say, what do you want from me? And he'll tell you right now. This is what he wants for you to do. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you that's always dragging you down from Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message Bible, he says to live on a level of immaturity. That's the way the world rolls. He says, but God is bringing out the best in you. It's God that's developing a well-formed maturity in you. God is all about maturity. Hear what I'm telling you today. He has always been about maturity. And you know when you're growing or you're maturing in the things of God is because you're doing things God's way. You're no longer consulting your flesh. You're no longer doing the Romans 12, 2 from the Passion Translation where he says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of others around you. Always consulting. Well, this sounds good. That looks good. Why don't I join that? Why don't I do that? He says, but be inwardly transformed. And that's the word of God, by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. That's what this ministry, Shift Today Ministries platform, is all about. This is a ministry of total reformation of how you think, because it's your thinking. Actually, let me tell you how real this is. It was the thoughts of Adam and Eve. They changed their mind. That's all that they did from the very beginning that led us all to sin. Adam and Eve, to be very simple, they changed their mind. God had a relationship with them. They met in the idyllic time, cool of the day. They were in relationship, not religion. And so guess what happened? God said, hey, if you do this, you're going to have all of this. It's wonderful. You could have this wonderful life. I've already created for you. Let me help you live this life. This is great. By faith, by grace through faith. So I want you to live this kind of life. I've already predestined it. Have it your way. Partner with me. You partner with me. I partner with you. And together we can do some good things. And then there was a serpent who saw God's delegated power. God's delegated power, that's his dunamis power. He saw that dunamis power. And because Satan had fallen with a third of his angels, he says, I don't even care nothing about Adam. I really don't care nothing about Eve. All I want is to be able to be a ruler and have some form of God while I'm in the earth since I've fallen. And so he says, okay, because this is basically his way to get back at God, but he don't know he's a created thing, because he was created, but he was created for Lucifer. But then he got recreated by dealing with his own self. And that's what happens with a lot of us. We get recreated by dealing with the mighty I. And so we take our eyes off of God and we put our eye on ourselves. And because when we put our eye on ourselves, then we get recreated. So God tells you a promise and God tells you how to live and God tells you all the things that you can have and what's possible for you. And as you engage with him and partner with him as he's partnering with you, and then the mighty I gets in. And just like Satan didn't care anything about Adam and Eve in the garden, he really doesn't care anything about you, because now that he's in the earth, he's always trying to make God look bad to say, oh, this is the people that you call right? Well, look at them. This is because it says Satan points an accusing finger at the brethren. Jesus, in the word, it says Jesus never came to appoint accusing finger. And Jesus would have had, if anybody, him being the second person in the Godhead, Jesus would have legally, rightfully could have came and pointed an accusing finger of us. But then just to show you, and he knew that we were all sinful. He knew that Adam had changed his mind and jacked us up and got us all in here as a parent. That's a lot of times, even in the natural. A lot of times we're jacked up now because of our natural parents and their decisions of what they did know or what they did not know about God. So therefore, the way they modeled their lives came from the way that they thought. So we were just ultimately just another generation passed down by the thoughts of our parents. But I'm telling you today, you have one parent, one heavenly father who can get you right again, who can set your path up to be right so you don't have to imitate the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. But you can inwardly be changed today by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. And through the way that you think, this will empower you. Romans 12:2 from the Passion Translation says, this will empower you to discern. Remember, the kingdom of God is discerned. It's not learned. And so this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, a satisfying life, a perfect life in his eyes. You can live this life by changing your mind, because Adam changed his mind and it got us all in sin. Jesus didn't have to change his mind. He came with the mind of God. And when you get born again, there's a scripture that says you now have the mind of Christ. So as you meditate that you have that mind, you have the mind of Christ, and you can partake of the things that Christ's mind gets. Christ's mind thinks on God. Christ's mind thinks on living right. Christ's mind thinks, he doesn't think on the flesh. He's not in that realm. Christ's mind is not in that realm. Christ's mind is seated above the world in heavenly places. You are seated above the world in heavenly places because you've been called and sentenced forever to dominate in this world. It says in Psalms 115:16, that heavens belongs to God, but he's given the world. He's given you the way that they think and their opinions. He says you're governor over that. You don't have to allow the world to tell you how to think and give you their opinions. God says in Romans 12:2 from the Passion Translation, he says, stop it. Stop imitating them. Imitate your Heavenly Father, he says in Ephesians 5:1. Hear what I'm telling you today. I've said all of that. Let me go in and pray. Father, I thank you for the ministry of your word that has boldly been declared so far. I thank you that our eyes and our ears are open to receive and respond to your word today. This message today is about resting in our righteousness, to be reminded of who we are in you, Jesus, and that it's in you that we can walk upright. It's in you that we can have this gracious life, this beautiful life, this complete life, this perfect life that has been well-pleasing already unto the Father. So Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Think through my mind continually and speak through my lips of clay. None of me and all of you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. So let's go right into it, talking about today, resting in your righteousness. That was just an introduction for you, me, to get here to tell you to rest in your righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I really sense prior to coming on to this broadcast today, the Holy Spirit was telling me to tell you who you are. Remind you of who you are, or remind you, or to tell you for the very first time of who you can become. And when God calls you something, you are that thing forever. Hear what I'm telling you today. When God announces and declares you to be whatever it is, as he declares to say, this is what you have already, whatever God says you are, whatever God says you already have, you already are, and you already can possess it. So the only way that you can be able to make that exchange and to obtain what God has already made you, what God has already given you, as I read to you earlier from Romans 12, he says, allow yourself to be following the customs of this world, but let me transform you by renewing your mind. So when you renew your mind, you get the blessing. Where's your mind? Your mind is in your soul. Jesus is the shepherd of your soul, not the shepherd of your body. He's the Lord of your spirit, but he's the shepherd of your soul. That's why when you say Jesus is Lord, that's when you enter into the kingdom of God, because you believe he died for you, you believe that he rose for you, and now you're living a life that's following, that's pleasing unto God. Now that's your way of living, but now we got to get your way of living as far as your entrance into the kingdom. Now we need to get you righteous. Meaning you've already been declared right, but now meaning you have to start operating out of your righteousness, which means you're operating now out of the fruit of being right. You're operating out of the fruit of God's announcement of declaring you right. When did God declare you right? The very moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you said, Jesus, you are Lord, God just said, boom. He stamped and approved it. He says, there's another righteous one right there. So that's why he says a righteousness that is never God is like filthy rags, because it's a religious. That means it was man's way. It was some other words that was trying to create a form of righteousness. But that's not a righteousness that pleases God. The righteousness that pleases God is the righteousness that he says, according to Romans 10. Let me get there very quickly. According to Romans 10. I thought I had it. Romans 10, verse 10. This, it says, Romans 10, verse 6, he says, but from the Amplified Bible, but the righteousness, here it is, based on, remember, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes from God. So here it is, Romans 10, verse 6, from the Amplified. But the righteousness that's based on faith, not a righteousness that's based on the world, a righteousness that's based on faith that comes from the kingdom of God, he says, which produces a right relationship with God, says the following. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Let me go up to verse 7 as well, because this is a continuation verse. Let me go there just to make sure. There it is. Who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Continuing on. Who will ascend into the abyss, which means in the hell, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we had to be saved by our own efforts. Because anything you're doing in your own efforts, you're not allowing the grace of God to work for you. Doing the impossible. But what does it say? The word is near you. Just like right now, you've been listening to nothing but the word. The word is near you. it is in your mouth and it is in your heart. So faith belongs in two places, in your heart, because why do you need to hear faith? So faith can get in there. That's the only reason why he says faith comes so you can hear, and it's hearing by the word of God. But when you're hearing it, where is that hearing going into? Where are those words that you're hearing going into? It's going into your spirit. The word of God is going into your heart. Your heart is your spirit. And then out of the abundance of all of those words that are going into your mouth, once you begin to declare it and decree it by your mouth, guess what? That's the message of faith, which we preach. That's the message we preach from this ministry. That's what we are, a word of faith ministry. Shift the day is. And because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart, which is your spirit, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, for that saved, meaning you will be justified with God. In other words, God says, you'll be cool with me. You will be set straight for me because there's no other way to get connected with me. Just like when people need to get to connected with me, they have their ways to get connected with me because I've given them the way to be connected with me. The people that don't want to be connected with me, then they don't follow the way that I've given them to be connected with me. Well, it's the same thing with God. To be connected with God, you have to be connected through his word, and his word is Jesus. And he says, if you believe, from Romans 10:10, for the heart of the person that believes is resulting in his justification. In other words, for justification is righteousness. That is being made righteous, being free of guilt, being free of sin, and made acceptable to God. That's why a lot of times your faith is not working because your righteousness is not working, because it's a righteousness that's done by faith. In other words, your position, the thing that you're trying to attain to and trying to please God, at least you finally got the thing, okay, I need to do this thing by faith. But now if your righteousness is not working, you're not living and being out of your position of who God says that you are, then guess what? Your faith ain't going to work as well either, even though you have faith. You have the measure of faith. God has given you, he says, the measure of faith. So what did he say in 2 Corinthians 5:21? He said, he made Christ who knew no sin. And if you haven't read my today's Devo, read it, because it's talking about, you're right, because the one that didn't know any sin, he came to be sin on your behalf. And you and I, who didn't know righteous, he gave us his righteousness. So there was a great exchange, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. And how are you going to do it? You're going to do it with the word that you're hearing, so that faith can come, like now. Then that word gets into your heart. Then you begin to say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then you become right. It's as simple as that. It's not that deep. But see, the religion makes the thing so deep and twisted and so far away from God that you can't even attain it. This platform, you can obtain the word of God and get the results that you want. So you can become the righteousness of God. And if you've already declared Jesus is Lord, say this with me. I am the righteousness of God. Say it. Within Christ Jesus. So in other words, continuing on from 2 Corinthians 5:21 to talking about today, resting in your righteousness, that is, we would be made acceptable to him. That's talking about God. And placed in a right relationship with him by gracious, loving kindness. So if you don't know who you are, who are you? The righteousness of God in Christ. When did you become the righteousness of God? When I declare with my mouth and accepted God's way of being right, which is Jesus, the only way to be made in a right relationship with God, which is the word. So when I take hold of the word of God, then I'm made right, and then I confess it with my mouth, and then God declares me and announces to the heavens that I'm right. He writes my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and now I have to be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that now I know how to walk uprightly as the righteousness of God. You are no longer, just like I was doing someone, I was taking care of a business client on Saturday, and she says, well, at the end of the day, we're all sinners, and I says, well, at the end of the day, we're all not. I says, let me tell you the difference. And this was a young millennial. And when I opened up her eyes and caused her to see, she says, you're right. I said, yeah. I said, because if that's the case, if you're still a sinner, though you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that means you got to come. And that's what he says. What are we going to do? Bring Jesus back down from heaven or bring him back up from the dead to make him do the whole crucifixion thing again for you because you never took hold of your declaration of faith and really believed in your heart and allowed that righteous root to take place? No, you have to learn how to rest that you are the righteousness of God. And though sin is in the world, that's what makes a sinner because they practice sin every single day. They wake up being that because that nature hasn't changed. That root hasn't changed. They still have a sinning nature. But the moment that they declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that nature within them changes. They now get a God nature. For that God then snatches them out of the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of darkness, and he pulls them in quickly into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. That's why you have to stay and meditate in all those scriptures that say, in him I live. In him is in him and with him and for him. Everything is in. And you need to learn how to stay in so that the enemy cannot try to snatch you back out. And once you are in into the kingdom of God, you're in. So now you got to learn. So when you slip and fall, when you get back into that world and practicing sin or practicing lies or practicing, because that's what it is, now you can practice sin as the righteousness of God, but you no longer can be a sinner. And you can be at your worst state. Say if you even went back into drugs or went back into addictions or went back to anything that was unlike God, guess what? You can be made right again. Say if you're still sleeping around or doing other things that God has told you not to do in the world, you're still the son and daughter of God, but what you're choosing to do is practice sin. But what you're practicing sin is delaying the blessing. It's delaying the things that you're trying to obtain from God. Oh, God, please give me that promotion. Oh, God, see, you don't realize you practicing sin as the righteousness of God is what's thwarting the thing that you're trying to believe, God. You want to get married or you want to do things right. But guess what? God says, I can't do these things for you because you keep practicing sin from your new position and you are still acting like you never came into the kingdom of God because you have not decided yet completely to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what I need you to do today, says the Lord, is to put your eyes before me, turn to me. I can pull you out of sin. I can help you start uprooting those things that I've never planted into your soul and that's causing you to still operate and think in a wayward way, a degenerative way, but I can get you to a place where you can think just like me with my mind and have the mind of my son, Jesus Christ, and live and move and have your being. But the only way that I can do that is I need for you to let me help you because it's by my grace, me helping you, embracing the things that I've already announced about you and you meditating on the word of God as he says in Joshua 1:8, this is how you're going to have success. This is how the Holy Spirit is going to change you from the inside out, from Joshua 1:8. Job, what the heck? Hold on. It's Joshua 1:8. I'm releasing you off this line. Hold on. Joshua 1:8. It says, I love technology, but sometimes it makes me grit my teeth. Joshua 1:8. He said, from the voice, let the words from the book, that's the Bible, of the law be always on your lips. Meditate on them, the word of God, day and night, meaning all throughout the day or however you're led, so that you may be careful to live. That's the purpose of thinking about the word of God and keeping it on your lips so you'll live it. You can live right by all that is written in it. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. So if you are not prospering, if you are not succeeding, that is because, let's go back, let's retract. I always like to retract. If you're not prospering, if you're constantly on that same cycle, if you're failing over and over again, that means, first of all, you're not operating by grace because you're not allowing God to do it for you through the word or help you. You're still trying to do this thing on your own. So then if you're not prospering, then you're not succeeding, that means you're not carefully living all that is written, you're not meditating on the word of God, and you're not putting the word upon your lips. Bottom line. And the same thing from Joshua 1:8 from the Amplified Bible. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This is a mouth kingdom. You got to say something. You're saying stuff in the world that ain't working. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So why don't you try God as the righteousness of God and rest in your righteousness and do what God says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read it and meditate on it day and night, or daily, in other words, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you will then make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful. I don't see how much easier it gets from that. God says that he wants to prosper you. That's his plan. He wants you to succeed, and so he needs for you to put the words upon your mouth, because the word is near you, as I read to you, as close as it is, as the heart that's in your body, and you can declare a thing and meditate on it, even from Romans 12 and 2, once again. Do not be like the people of this world, but be changed, and then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing in him. It's by faith. We're not going to bring Christ down from heaven, and we can't pull him back out of hell because he's already been resurrected in hell. So let's stop trying to get God to come back here when he's already here. He's left you his word. He's left you the greatest asset, the greatest tool, the greatest resource that will change your life. It's the word of God. It's still Jesus, but now Jesus says, you still have me because you have everything that I've announced. I was prophesied about from Genesis to Malachi, and then I came to manifest myself and live it out through those disciples. They wrote about me, and then Paul wrote by revelation of me of how you can live a right life. So you got to know that God made you right. He made you right. You are the righteousness of God. Say that one more time. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And no weapon will form against my righteousness shall prosper. Today, say it with me. I choose and I will my righteousness. This is my position. Just like when you go to work and you got promoted and they say, oh, you're now the senior whatever. Now you're the senior righteousness because God made you right. That's your new title. Your old title was sinner. Your new title is righteous. So live as the righteous. Amen. Let's close this day's broadcast. I believe it that I'm right. I will it that I'm right, my righteousness, and I have it. And I think right because I can do that through Christ. I seal my declarations of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask or dare to imagine, according to the power is in your words, according to the power, the Holy Spirit, that's working in me, to him that is able to keep me from failing and falling, and to present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Holy Spirit, through the word of God, is sustaining my spirit, sustaining my soul, and sustaining my body. So you don't have to, don't try to do it on your own in your flesh, because then we can see what's happening when you're trying to sustain it. And it doesn't work. It doesn't look good. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is sustaining us. To the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, eternal, immortal, invisible. Come on, let's give it up. The only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And hallelujah is the highest praise. Come on and say hallelujah. Praise God that you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know the devil can't steal your righteousness because that's a title that God has declared upon you. Say it one more time. I am, announce it to the heavens, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And my heavenly Father is pleased with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Legacy Partners and Shift Today Ministry Partners, for making this broadcast possible. I love you. God bless you. And join me tomorrow as we're going to be talking about on the finances. We're going to be making declarations about money. If you're struggling with money, you're struggling with finances, this is the segment that you want to be on tomorrow morning. See you there, 6 a.m. to 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. In Jesus' name, amen.